This recording of a channeling session is intended for your personal use only and is protected by copyright. Please do not duplicate it for any commercial means, and please do not post it to any website. Feel free to post a link back to it on www.josiah.com. Thank you.
Once again, we express our greetings to each of you, and we would once again remind you that there exists for each of you to be involved in that silent communication, that telepathic interaction and exchange of information, and once again, the energy that you bring into this sacred class as a result of the synergy or combined energy greatly enhances your ability to alter your consciousness and to enter into that meditative or altered state where you can indeed be involved and participate in that communication, that telepathic interaction and the exchange of information. But as always, of course, that choice is yours, absolutely. Now, you are a multi-dimensional personality. That's who you are. A multi-dimensional personality that exists without the limitations of time and space. Time and space limitations are conscious awareness experiences that do not exist at the level of consciousness, that state of deep consciousness, if you wish, from which you create your reality and from which you absorb the experiences and the feelings and emotions that result from the experiences that you create. You exist in, once again, a multitude of incarnations, different experiences. And for many, that's a difficult concept to grasp. We would suggest that each of you, even in this awakened consciousness state, in this incarnational period, are aware that you go through alterations, if you wish, of your personality. You have times when you feel joyful, and you have times when you feel angry, and you have times when you are depressed, and you have times when you feel ecstatic, and you have a wide range of different experiences that are different aspects of your personality. And you can grasp that, you can understand that. You're all aware of those particular experiences. It becomes a little more difficult for you to grasp that you are capable of similar multi-dimensional personalities in other incarnational periods. Perhaps a little bit more elaborate than your alterations of your experience in this awakened consciousness state in this particular incarnational period, but nonetheless quite valid in the actually a very good comparison or analogy of the multidimensional personality that you truly are, an entity that exists without the limitations of time and space, an entity that exists in the now, for lack of a better terminology, where all of the experiences are occurring. You are involved in that creation process throughout all of your so-called history and your future, for they are illusionary. They don't really exist. Time and space are illusions that you experience only in your awakened consciousness state. So that's who you are. You're a multi-dimensional personality. So much more than what you comprehend in this awakened consciousness state when you limit your so-called access and understanding to that level of consciousness from which you create the reality that you experience. What you are is a source of energy, if you wish. And again, for lack of better terminology, but for a terminology that can at least give you a grasp of what you are. A source of energy. A source of energy that exists in each and every atom in your entire vibrational level, in your entire universe. And as we suggested before, that becomes difficult for you to grasp that concept. It becomes more feasible if you can grasp the concept that it's an illusion, that you're involved in the creation and participation in the sustainment of the illusion, that you are indeed that type of energy that exists throughout all of creation. We use the terminology energy because it's the closest terminology that can give you some idea of what you truly are. But it's an energy, if you wish, that's unlike the energies that you experience in this awakened consciousness state. You can understand that there is energy that comes from various elements. But the energy that you are is the energy that's responsible for the creation of those elements. Much more advanced, if you wish. Much more effective. It's an energy that is limitlessness. You see, the limits that you experience once again in your awakened consciousness state are illusionary. They don't really exist. What you are is limitlessness. It has no capacity. It has no end. And as a result of having no end, it really has no beginning. You are all that is, and yet you are nothing. It's such a difficult concept to explain. It's one that you can go with inside, and you can touch the experience and get an overwhelming feeling of what you are. It's difficult to give an explanation, if not impossible, in your so-called awakened consciousness state through the use of a vocabulary. You are all that is. You are a type of energy. And we continuously say type of energy because that's not an accurate description. It has its limitations in your concept of what energy is. And yet there is no limitation to who and what you truly are. None at all. That energy that you are, once again, exists throughout your entire vibrational level. Or if you wish to use a concept or a terminology that applies to your awakened consciousness state, exists throughout your entire universe and all that you are capable of perceiving. You see, once again, even your so-called universe is limitless. The only limits to the universe are the ones that you put upon it. There is no limit to what it is possible for you to create and to achieve. There is no limit. The only limitation is your imagination. If you can imagine it, you can achieve it. And so that energy that you are exists throughout the entire vibrational living, or once again, throughout your entire universe, if you wish. It's the energy that is responsible for the creation and the maintenance of what you experience in your waking consciousness state. And it's an energy that can be perceived. It's an energy that exists within every element. Many of you perceive that type of energy, and you refer to it as an aura, if you wish. And there are many individuals who have the ability to see auras surrounding every element. It's not just an aura that surrounds a so-called living being, but indeed is around what you refer to as inert or unliving objects as well. For you see, they are all illusionary, and they are all combined and formed from the energy that you utilize to create the illusionary reality. Similar, absolutely. And so that energy exists throughout each and every element. And if you wish to change it, you simply change the energy. And when you change the energy, it's a result of changing your beliefs. We suggested that you have within each and every cell of your being what your scientists have come to refer to as the DNA. And contained within that DNA are a multitude of probabilities and possibilities that you could have grasped to have these experiences in this particular incarnational period put in place. From that level of consciousness that you are unaware of in your awakened consciousness side, what many individuals seem to search for, something that you can't lose, it's who and what you are, you simply hide from it by choice. And from that level of consciousness, you put in place, once again, the so-called DNA, with its possibilities and probabilities for various experiences, physical experiences in particular, that you can experience in this incarnational period. Now, once again, it's difficult for many individuals to grasp that. It's like when I inherited that from my parents or somewhere in my past history, in my ancestry, you can trace back that that particular experience or that particular attribute existed, and so I've inherited it. Like it's not your choice, and yet it is your choice. And if it's your choice, and if you have absolute and complete free choice, then it's important to understand as well that all of the other entities that you're interacting with also have absolute and free choice. And so it is an agreement, if you wish, that each will be involved in the creation process. That each will have a participation in that experience for whatever reason, for whatever belief system they choose to validate, so that they can have the experience. So, the seemingly choice, or the seemingly combination of different genetic makeups that result in what you refer to as a genetic either deficiency or a genetic attribute are not accidental. You choose to be involved in that creation process. You choose. You're so much more than what you perceive in your awakened consciousness state. You choose, and all of the entities involved in that process choose. And if you believe that it's a positive and a very advantageous reality that you're experiencing as a result of that interaction or that combination of genes that give you that genetic makeup, then understand that the spot of consciousness that you are grants that to you, creates that reality for you as easily and as willingly as it creates the other type of reality that you might refer to as the negative, and where the genetic inheritance may bring to you some type of physical ailment that you don't wish you had to be involved in or experiencing in your awakened consciousness state. Each one is equally as valid to that spark of consciousness that creates your reality, and each one validates a choice that you have made to have the experience. And that's the difficult part to grasp. You see, once again, in your awakened consciousness state, you believe that this is it, that this is the most important aspect of your creation, that this is the most important experience that you can be involved in. But it's an illusion. It's the most difficult illusion for you to sustain. And it's the least real, not the most. And therein again lies the difficulty in accepting the explanation and understanding that you create the reality absolutely, and many of the elements that you're experiencing are put in place at a level of consciousness that is not readily available to you from your so-called awakened consciousness level. We've suggested many times that you are, as a human consciousness entering into this so-called new age and new energy, you are altering the very physical makeup of the energy that sustains this illusion that you're existing in, that will make it possible for you to have a greater conscious influence upon your creation process than you've ever experienced in your so-called past history. You have to have past histories once again, because they validate the reality of the illusion. The time and space concept validate. It gives you a reference so that you can point to it and say, look at it, it's real. You see, this has occurred, and it's real. In your awakened consciousness state, it makes all kinds of sense. In your so-called altered states of consciousness, you can get glimpses that it's an illusion, that it's not real, that time and space don't really exist. And so that energy that you are, that surrounds each and every atom, not only of your physical being, but indeed of all of the elements that you perceive in this awakened consciousness state, is an energy that's within your capacity to have an influence over. And again, it becomes a very difficult concept to grasp. It's why it can't be written down. It's why you can't perceive it through some type of terminology. Because someone would look at that particular statement and say, well, then that means I'm responsible for every individual that I experience. That is my reaction. And yet those entities then are responsible for everything that you experience, and in that instance you would be their creation. And in a sense, there's a bit of truth to that statement, because you are all that is. Each of you exists in each and every atom of the entire universe. It's an illusion, but yet you are individual. And therein lies the contradiction and the difficulty to grasp. It's like using the terminology that you are a spark of consciousness leads one to believe that there's this great huge fire and you are but a piece of it. And it's not that at all. You are the entire fire. And yet, if you can be all that is, then how can some other entity be all that is as well? And yet it is true, you are all that is, as so is every other entity that exists, not only in your vibrational level, but in all of the vibrational levels throughout all of creation. You are one. You are it. You are all that is, and yet you are nothing. A very difficult concept to grasp, but nonetheless a very accurate, and one that you can experience if you go within thought. And if you begin to grasp that concept, that you are so much more than what you experience and what you're aware of, and if you can grasp the concept that what you are is energy, and if you can alter that energy, you can alter your entire reality. When an entity brings into an incarnational period the possibility of having a certain physical experience, it doesn't always have to be negative, although as an entity existing within this particular incarnational period, many have the tendency to only look upon the negative aspects, like you have some type of disease. It can be exactly the opposite, that you bring in that possibility to be disease-free. You bring in that possibility to have positive experiences. And as you alter the energy that surrounds the DNA, you activate that possibility and turn it into a probability. And you exist what seems to be a relatively simple disease-free existence in this incarnational period as a result of altering the energy. And it doesn't mean that the capacity for you to experience this illnesses doesn't exist. Absolutely not. If you believe, you can have it. It's an illusion. You can have whatever you wish. That's what you can but do. So if you desire to have some type of experience, and we're not suggesting that it's something that you necessarily desire at a conscious level, But at other levels of your consciousness, you're not explicit in what it is that you desire to experience, but rather you desire to have a validation of some type of element that you're not in control, for example. And indeed, you alter the energy that surrounds the DNA and change what was simply a possibility into a probability, and you bring it into your reality, and you have it. That energy is who what you truly are. That energy is what holds together, if you wish, this illusion, this reality that you're experiencing in your awakened consciousness state. That energy, many times we refer to it as an electromagnetic type of energy, although it's not an accurate description, but it's one that gives you some type of a concept of what this energy that you are is like. That energy exists throughout each and every atom of your entire universe. And each and every entity in your entire universe exists throughout each and every atom. Difficult concept to grasp if you look at it from your so-called awakened consciousness perspective. Not at all difficult if you look at it from the perspective that it's an illusion. It's an illusion that you perceive in your awakened consciousness that it's not real. Now, if you have any questions, we would be willing to attempt to answer them for you.
This question that a man emailed in, he wants to ask. What type of reality experience are you creating and experiencing with those around you?
We create and experience realities that, for lack of a better explanation, are quite similar to what you experience and create in your so-called vibrational level. One of the differences is that we understand absolutely that we are in control. We understand that the reality that we experience is simply a reflection of the beliefs we hold. To give you an example, perhaps, so that you can get a glimpse of what that might be like, it's like when you are in an altered state of consciousness, or in what you sometimes refer to as a daydreaming state of consciousness, where what you're experiencing, you understand is illusionary, and yet it can seem to be quite real. While you are indeed, while in that state, quite unaware of what's occurring around you, you have the capacity to put that out of your perception, if you wish. You experience this altered state, and it can be very real, particularly in your so-called childhood years when you have not progressed beyond the understanding that it's within your capacity to utilize your imagination and to, through the utilization of that imagination, have experiences that can be much more fulfilling many times than what you're experiencing in your awakened consciousness state. Unfortunately, many individuals, as you so-called mature, lose that capacity. But nonetheless, you may lose the capacity, but I'm certain that you do not lose the memory of that particular experience. And so when we create, it's similar to that. We understand that it's our creation. We understand indeed that we are completely within control and we can have it go whichever wish, whichever direction we wish or desire to experience. And we can do it from our state of consciously quite easily if we wish. It's not much different than what you do in this vibrational level. The only difference is that we understand that we are absolutely in control of what it is that we're experiencing. And as a result of being in control, we experience an understanding of an absolute and unconditional love that many times escapes individuals in this particular vibrational level in your so-called awakened consciousness state escapes because you desire to have it unavailable to you, to enhance the seemingly reality of this experience that you are having in your awakened consciousness state. However, when you understand that you are in control, when you understand that it's an illusion as well, it's difficult to achieve the same intensity in emotions and feelings. We've used the analogy many times that it's like going into a theater and watching a projection upon a screen, going through a wide range of emotions and feelings, having a passage of time just well beyond your so-called real time and space, and yet leaving the theater and understanding that it was an illusion, and so therefore the emotions and feelings are not nearly as intense as what it is that you experience in your real world. Even though it's as illusionary as what it was on the screen, you simply don't believe that in your awakened consciousness state, for this is real. In our state, we understand that it doesn't matter how much effort we put into it, when it's like your daydream. You understand that you're in control, and it can be quite gratifying, but lacks the intensity of what you experience in your vibrational level, which is one of the reasons we desire to interact with our friend Elias, to have that opportunity to experience to some extent that intense range of emotions and feelings without really having to step into your vibrational level. But we have no desire to do so. Absolutely not. We enjoy our type of creation, as do you. We're simply aware. The major difference between our reality and your reality, we understand that we are the creators. We don't hide from that fact. We don't put up any type of veil, if you wish, to limit that understanding. Whereas you do so. We also understand that time and space are limited. They don't really exist. It's an illusion that you have in your reality. It does not exist in other realities. Does that answer your question?
How do you change a belief? Okay, a very strong belief about control, allowing other entities or could be parents, siblings. You know you're in control, but to change that belief, a very strong,
When one feels that one is being controlled by another, it's important to understand that one feels like a victim. And it's almost an irony that in many of those situations, it's the victim that's in control. When the victim chooses to stop being the victim, then the situation is terminated. It ends. It's a difficult choice for many because you see, to make that choice means as well that the entire relationship will change. And many times there are elements of that relationship that the individual involved in that relationship desires. If you didn't desire it, you wouldn't experience it. The reality, once again, is a reflection of your beliefs and of your desires. And many individuals in your awakened consciousness state involved in that particular type of relationship may weigh, if you wish, the possible losses against the potential gains if they were to terminate the relationship, if they were to change it. What do you desire? It's such a simple statement. What do you desire? To change a belief means that one must indeed feel that they have the capacity to do so. And we've suggested many times that liking who you are will assist in that potential possibility of succeeding in altering belief systems. Like who you are. You see, when you lost who you are, you begin to believe that you have the capacity to make the changes. You begin to have the expectation that we speak of. For if you don't expect that it's possible, then all of the so-called other methods or techniques that you employ aren't going to work very well. It's important that you have the expectation. To have the expectation, it's important to like who you are. And to like who you are, many times, means altering certain belief systems that are influencing one's choices and decisions. Altering one's belief systems in other areas than just self-worth, for example. How do you alter those belief systems? You have to use your imagination. What would it be like? What do you desire? You see, without imagination, as we suggested earlier in this interaction, without imagination and being very definite in what it is that you desire, you can achieve a certain desire to be involved, for example, in relationships. But without being specific, without using your imagination to be specific about what it is that you wish to experience and to gain from that interaction and that relationship, you can create the relationship, but it may be one that you wish you hadn't bothered to do in the first place. Because you weren't specific. Because you didn't allow yourself the experience through your imagination. Imagination is a very important part of your creation process. All of your so-called inventions and all of the experiences that you have and all of the so-called luxuries and comforts are as the result of someone's imagination. It begins with imagination. It begins with desire. And the more specific the imagination, then the more the creation is to validate and to grant what it is that you desire. And you must expect it. You must have that belief. And so to change beliefs requires a combination of all of those elements of knowing what it is that you desire, of utilizing your imagination. What would it be like? And we've talked about imagination many times. You can't just use your imagination and say, well, I think it would be nice to be involved in some type of a very giving relationship. It takes more than that. Imagination means utilizing your senses. What would you feel like? What would it look like? What other senses could you bring in to make it real? So that if you had it, what would it be like? If you desire to have an automobile, what do you wish to have? You just think, well, it would be nice to have an automobile. So 3 days later, a friend gives you their automobile because they're ready to put it in the junk pile. And so this automobile that you desire takes away your abundance because it takes all of the extra cash that you've had to keep it running because you didn't utilize your imagination. If you utilize your imagination and you want an automobile, that's one of those nice, fancy automobiles that is economic to run and to utilize. And you imagine what it would feel like and what it would smell like. And you imagine the emotions and feelings that you would have as you were utilizing and driving that automobile. Ah, now that's an entirely different perspective. You've used your imagination to fill out what type of an automobile that you desire to bring into your reality and to create. And then you expect it. You expect it. One of the most difficult parts of this creation process is the expectation if you don't think it's possible for you to create it in the first place. You must believe that it's within your capacity to do so. For it truly is. You create the entire reality. And so you can take that same analogy that we utilize for an automobile and you can apply it to relationships. When you do that, once again, You weigh against the good and the bad, what you desire and what you don't desire. And many individuals will continue in the relationships that they're involved in because there are certain elements that they desire or that they believe are necessary to their existence in this particular incarnation period. It's a choice. And it doesn't matter what belief it is that you desire to change. You must utilize your imagination. Wouldn't it be alive? If I had that, wouldn't it be alive? And the more specific you are, the greater your chances of having that experience. And then you pay attention to the spontaneous attitudes, for they give glimpses into the true belief systems. You see, many of your so-called psychologists believe that if you hold a certain attitude, and if you hold that attitude continuously, that will enhance your existence. And it may. It may. But it may not. You see, attitudes and beliefs go hand in hand. If you hold the attitude, it's not necessarily you maintain that you've altered the belief system. And so you maintain that attitude, but it's a false attitude. It's one that comes from your consciousness, not from your subconsciousness. It's one that you have felt that is necessary, but it's not necessarily the attitude that's the reflection of your beliefs. And it's that attitude that's important. Not the one that you paste on the wall and write down every day, I'm going to be a positive person, I'm going to be a positive person. And then along comes someone that cuts you off when you're driving to work in the street corner and the positivity goes out the window and you have that burst of attitude. And it's that attitude that's a reflection of the belief that you hold. Not the one that you've written out every day, I'm going to be a positive person. And so, while it can have influence, and we're not suggesting for an instant that a particular method or technique will not work, what we're suggesting is if you pay attention to the spontaneous attitudes, it'll give you glimpses into the beliefs that you hold that are responsible for the experience in the first place, that are responsible for you to be involved as you agreed to be cut off by someone on their way to work so that you can smile at them and they can give you the thing they are and you can both be mad at each other and you can have all of these reactions. It's not a chance interaction, but one that's a reflection of the beliefs that you hold. And so if you pay attention to that attitude, that spontaneous attitude, in all of your interactions, it gives you glimpses into the beliefs. And when you get glimpses into the beliefs, if you don't like the attitude, you can change the belief. You can work on changing the belief by what it is that you would desire. I don't desire to be cut off on my way to work. I don't like that attitude that came. I want to change that belief. I want to feel that it's possible for me to drive to work without being cut off. And so you imagine what that would be like. What would that feel like? What would that look like? Oh man, I can almost hear myself rejoicing and singing on my way as I drive to my place of employment and I'm not hitting the red lights and I'm not being cut off by anyone and I'm enjoying. I'm feeling those emotions. That's the imagination. And then the expectation. Yeah, I can do this. I can do this. And then you begin to make the choices and decisions and to hold the attitudes that are a true reflection of your beliefs, and not one that you simply write down because you think that will do it. And you can apply that particular type of philosophy, if you wish, to all of your experiences, not just the one where you're driving in your automobile to your place of employment, but even to the relationships that you're involved in. Pay attention to the spontaneous attitudes. For if you don't understand what the belief is, it becomes very difficult to change it. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Well, now, well, then, once again, it's been a very joyful interaction, and we'd like to express our gratitude once again to each of you. And to remind you once again that we are not separated by time or space. You have but to express the intent, and we would welcome the opportunity to interact and to share with each of you. that we are not separated by time or space, but rather by a vibrational level. We exist within the same time and the same space. You have but to express the intent, and we would welcome that opportunity to interact with you. It is the next time you offer us this opportunity to share with the rest of you and to indeed have the pleasure of interacting and sharing. We would bid each of you farewell with love and with peace.